And now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good evening, everyone. Matt and Madeline, you're here tonight surrounded by loved ones, family members and friends and mentors and advocates, people who are here for no other reason than because the Lord is doing this thing in your life right now. With all the preparations that you have made for taking this next step in the Lord, there is heightened anticipation and celebration. I know you felt it. Like, this is going to happen, right? And, like, what if it happens? Are we ready? All those questions flood into your hearts. And Madeline, I know they're affecting you just as much as they are Matt, who sits beside you tonight. I want to welcome all of you here tonight because it's a special way to mark time in the journey of a young couple who have prepared for a very long time already to serve the church. Only people who've walked this journey realize how much is required. And yet, this is just another step where even more is required. And we stand sort of in the already but not yet work of Christ in and through his church. Jeff, thanks for coming and representing the steering committee. And Father Greg and Christina and you guys, the boys who made the trip, thank you for coming. Those of you who've traveled are members of this church or are members of other churches. Thank you. Thank you for making this effort. It's an important time, and your witness and your prayers are much appreciated. When we consider your vocation, when you consider it, you're called to serve the Lord as a priest, and that will happen someday. But the foundation of priesthood and the one holy Catholic and apostolic church is the diaconate. It's a part of what priests are called to be and do. But this season of discernment and experiencing the testing that has come with this, your own questions and those questions asked of you, these are experiences that only you can really tell us, because your journey, while others have walked it, is still yours. And I hope that you will talk about this journey in the weeks and months ahead. I hope your friends and family, and not only those gathered here, but those who couldn't be here, will hear more about what God has done in your hearts and minds over these years. Now, just as what happened when you both came to the Lord to exchange your marriage vows, this is not always good news to a wife. You're making vows once again. These vows have real effect, and they have real consequence for your life together as husband and wife, and how you live out your matrimonial vows in the company of God's people. It's really important. Jesus spoke to his disciples about the nature of God. And in Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The parentheses that's not there is "if you do." "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." There's an inherent promise, and there's an inherent invitation to a way of life that will become ever more clear as you walk it out each day. Now, the scripture has appointed us for us tonight, and I'll remind you of that collect on Scripture Sunday, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the ones appointed for this evening. Lead us to essential truths about the nature of the ministry of Jesus. Not that your systematics professor couldn't say it better. Not that your biblical studies professor couldn't say it better. So let me just remind you of what they said. These truths are admittedly easier to contemplate than they are to embody. But embody them, we must. Let's listen to Jeremiah. He says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." The Lord is speaking to the prophet who's facing a difficult task ahead of him, a life of prophetic ministry in a very tumultuous time. And the Lord says, "Before you were born, I consecrated you." I hope he will take comfort, because if that was only for Jeremiah alone, then probably none of us would be here. It's something that people who make the kind of promises you are making tonight resonate with. The ministry of Jesus, at least for an ordained minister, constantly draws us into the long view of the Lord's providence. As the Lord works out his purpose one generation to the next, the heart of the prophet connects us to the amazing faithfulness of our God, who remains ultimately engaged and even more intimately engaged with us as his people, raising up leaders who will speak his word because they are quite literally born of his word. So consider your life as resultant from the word, and it will impact you tremendously in the way that you lead God's people. Now, Jeremiah was deeply humbled by these words that the Lord spoke to him, because it conveys the reality that the ministry to which he was called was not his idea, not simply a good idea or a great career or maybe the family business or the result of enticement to influence, but the commitment by a God who so loved his people that he would raise up Jeremiah from the womb of his mother to lead them by God's word and not his own. This may be the most difficult part of discernment in the preaching ministry, is knowing what God is saying and knowing what we're saying. It's in moments such as these when we recognize that what we do in life, especially in ministry, it flows from our desire. And our desires flow from our nature. And our nature is shaped by the one whose nature is to love and to sacrifice and to serve. This will be very costly. You will experience it in many, many, many ways over your life. And it's an extraordinary grace to be able to give it. For us who are in orders, we answer to the one who sends us. Again, the Lord says in Jeremiah 7, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth.'" It's chapter 1, verse 7. "Do not say, 'I am only a youth,' for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you." That verse always hits on about three things that catch me short. And I hope that if you're like me in that way, that you'll pay attention to that verse. Ordination is about many things, but of these I am sure. When we're ordained, we go where the Lord sends us, no matter what, when we are obedient to him. And we speak as he directs us, when we're obedient to him. and we go and speak fearlessly because the Lord is with us when we are obedient to him. So the message simply is go speak and be fearlessly confident in him. We see this in Stephen, where Stephen is one of the first deacons. We remember Stephen because he was first and he was martyred. The other ones had an equally impactful ministry. But at his martyrdom, he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." So part of the diaconate is seeing the heavens opened and imploring the Lord to open the heavens and to orient our life in prayer such that the heavens are opened and remain open to us. Now, there are people, both those who claim Jesus and those who don't, that will always be challenged by your proclamation of his divinity. Because with the divinity of Jesus comes his lordship. And with his lordship, that establishes his claim on us, who he loves so completely. It's not that we claim Christ, it's that he claims us. It's not that we own him, it's that he owns us. So your life of prayer and worship will allow you to peer into the heavens. And that's what it's for. So you may remain steadfast in joy, no matter the burdens or the difficulties of loving and serving God's people. So my brother, join me and your colleagues, those gathered here and those who you will know in time. Fix your eyes on Jesus and him alone. He is the one who is the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame of it, and is seated at the right hand of God. Jesus told his disciples to travel lightly because the work is demanding. Now, I had an experiment. I was invited to a camping training event. And I was as careful as I could be to pack lightly. And when I got to the place where we were departing, my pack was one of the heaviest packs. I thought, about 2 miles into it, a man about 10 years older than I am and about 25 or 30 pounds lighter is taking the stuff out of my pack and putting in his, because he had walked that journey before. He understood how to travel lightly, and he could carry my burdens on that mountain climb. That man's name is Bishop Trevor Walters. So oftentimes we forget how light is light when we're facing a journey we've not walked before. So trust those whom God has given you who have walked the journey, at least for a while. So this is what Jesus says: "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old. Stay dressed for action. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home for the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes." The surprise in this narrative is not that servants stay awake so that the master's needs might be met, but that the master returns to serve them. "Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them." If that doesn't break your heart, nothing can. If that doesn't break our hearts, Nothing can. At the end of a long day, when your feet are tired, when you've given more than you know how to give, Jesus takes the servant's towel and serves us. This is our God. He's showing us that he works into our hearts and wills the same nature as is in him, so that we may be tireless in serving, not because we are good, but because the good one has given us so much, that our desire is to share from the bounty that we have received. Remember Jesus, who said, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciples to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master." Let's all take that to heart tonight, not just for the new deacon, but for all of us who call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus spoke thusly as he was sending them out on mission. This whole passage is, say, now go and be on mission. Now go and carry the gospel. Now go and bring unchurched and unsaved people into the joy of the light of the Lord. Matt, are you prepared to serve this Jesus who sacrifices so that his love may be so embodied in you that his love abounds to the least and the last and the lost? That's the question before you tonight. Your diaconate will place you at the crossroads where the church and the world intersect. Lead God's people into the mission field as Jesus' servant, so they may learn to present Jesus also by word and deed in their own neighborhoods and schools and places of work. The ministry into which you step tonight is the servant ministry of Jesus. My brother, represent him well. Let's pray. Father, we know that you have every confidence in those whom you call. And you've called each one of us into a life-giving relationship with you. Stir up your spirit in us this night, that we may serve you as you call us. And we present to you one from among us, our brother Matt, that you may make him a deacon, and that his life would evermore take on your character as the servant of all. We invite your blessing. Lord Jesus, make it so. In your holy name, we pray.